Well, good morning, all. We're going to ask Mrs. Lear if she would be the person who would lead us to God's throne of grace in prayer today, opening our service.
Well, Father God, we look out the window here in New Hampshire and we see a blanket of fresh snow. This tends to cover up a lot of things that we would ordinarily see. We're thankful for the moisture, for the precipitation. But at the same time, we're also thankful when that snow goes away and we can see what's truly underneath. And Lord, that would be somewhat analogous to our hearts, that we can sometimes, as fallen beings, find it very easy to hide under a blanket of something. And Holy Spirit, we just submit ourselves to you and pray that when that time should come, if it should come, you would tap us on the shoulder, you would remind us of who we really are, who we belong to, and who we're called to be, and get us out from under any hiding we may be doing. And we submit that to you humbly, always, daily. And we thank you, Lord, that we as a body of believers have the freedom to gather together today. You tell us, you make it clear to us that that is something that you want us to do. Gather together with the body of Christ, with one another. We help one another, we build one another up. We keep each other strong and we hold each other up in times that we may need it. We thank you for that. And Holy Spirit, we pray that we would have hearts turned toward you today, to listen to this message that Pastor Lear has prepared, knowing that there's much to be taught, much to be learned, and we open our hearts for that very purpose. In your name, Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. Amen.
Amen. Well, we have downloaded from a website called Songs for Teaching, Using Music to Promote Learning. And interestingly enough, today is the 12th day of Christmas. So we're actually going to sing that song, the 12 days of Christmas, traditional Christmas carol songs. And a lot of people don't think of it this way. Of course, this week on the 7th of January, which is Wednesday, is Orthodox Christmas. If you're Eastern Orthodox, then you're going to be celebrating Christmas on what most evangelical Christians celebrate on the 25th of December, will be celebrated on the 7th of January. So let's sing this song on the 12 days of Christmas. On the first day of Christmas, my true love sent to me a partridge in a pear tree. On the second day of Christmas, my true love sent to me two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. On the third day of Christmas, my true love sent to me three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me five golden rings, four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me six geese a-laying, five golden rings, four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love sent to me seven swans a-swimming, six geese a-laying, five golden rings, four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me Eight maids a-milking, seven swans a-swimming, six geese a-laying, five gold. Four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me nine ladies dancing, eight maids a-milking, seven swans a-swimming, six geese a-laying, five golden rings, four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the tenth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me ten lords a-leaping, nine ladies dancing, eight maids a-milking, seven swans a-swimming, six geese a-laying, five golden rings, four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love sent to me 11 pipers piping, 10 lords a-leaping, 9 ladies dancing, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying, 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love sent to me 12 drummers drumming, 11 pipers piping, 10 lords a-leaping, 9 ladies dancing, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans swimming, 6 golden laying, 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. Oh, that's a good vocal exercise. Now, some people have said there was code speak. I don't know the truth of that or not. That some people said there was code speak because the king did not appreciate certain things about Christians or whatever. I don't know the truth of it. It's an interesting song, to say the least, and like a lot of the Christmas carols we sing, they are great vocal exercise, and as we stated in the beginning, this was printed off of that website, Songs for Teaching, Using Music to Promote Learning. And of course, not the least of which, a song like that is good vocal exercise. You have to really breathe deeply, you have to think kind of straight and fast and so forth. Those are all good things. And we're going to sing some regular songs now, here in the new year. I'll give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to thee among the people. For thy steadfast love is great, is great to the heavens, and thy faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. I lift my eyes up unto the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, maker of heaven, creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You are my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me, to come and give me life. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited, and he heard my cry. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited, and he heard my cry. You pulled me from the miry clay and showed me where to walk. From fear into security, from quicksand unto the rock. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited, and he heard my cry. There's a new song in my heart to sing. There's a new song, praises to my King. You pulled me from the miry clay and showed me where to walk. From fear into security, from quicksand unto rock. Come, now is the time to worship. Oh, come, now is the time to give your heart. Oh, come, just as you are to worship. Oh, come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Lord of all creation. Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky. The heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. Early in the morning, I will celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. God of wonders beyond the galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his man, and the sheep of his hand. Well, that's a good way to enter into the new year for sure. I would like to share some of the things we received through Technocracy today. We can't seem to escape the technocracy and the technocrats and all those different people that are out there. And of course, technology, whether you like it or you don't, is with us to stay. At least it seems so. Of course, when you get snowstorms and things that knock power out and floods and all like that, and you see that some of this technology doesn't work very well in difficult times. The main technology you need to make sure that is always working is your connection with the Lord. Don't let anything get in the way of that. There are a lot of people, before I bring some of these points here, I want to mention we have a lot of people that are suffering with what they, not sure, viruses or the flu or something. A lot of the doctors, we've been hearing this from a lot of people. A lot of people have had to go in for emergency surgeries. People have fallen down and broken arms and ribs on the ice. All kind of things that are happening. And of course, it can be pretty scary for any of us to think about that. But of course, as the songs we've just sung remind us, we need to reach out to the one who loves us most and the one who loves us best, the one who provides for you, and that is Jesus. Well, seven major city, smart city, they call them smart cities, trends for 2020. The standout trend is mobility hubs and car-free zones, discussed in several articles. Of course, we've been reading them of technocracy today, banning cars from city centers and forcing people onto foot, bicycle, scooter, or mass transit will be huge in 2020. I've seen some pictures in China, for example, where people are on scooters and bicycles, and pretty dangerous. You put four people on a bicycle or four people on a scooter. Some people are using other things. Of course, the idea of Shank's Mare, which is otherwise known as on foot, is fine, but of course it's difficult to walk if there's a lot of flooding or if there's snow and ice and so forth and so on. So interesting how all that will work out. German Greens ban cars from all city centers by 2030. The green agenda has taken on a life of its own and will not be stopped except by total defeat. The ban cars from city centers movement is now global in scope, including in American cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles. Well, we'll see how that goes. Andrew Yang, you may have seen him or heard about him. He's the techno-populist candidate. The 2020 presidential candidate presents the pure technocrat plus pure populist platform better than Andrew Yang. He is notably different than the extreme socialist or leftist candidates and should be recognized as a techno-populist. So, for those of you that just think of Republicans or Democrats or libertarians or independents, now there are techno-populists. Spiked on climate, the UK solution cannot be technocracy. Update, gene editing researchers convicted in China. For consumers, first 5G rollout doesn't live up to the hype. A deeper understanding of technocracy by Rappaport. Spycraft takes an ugly turn with facial recognition technology. Yes, and of course, coming to your local airport. Well, with my quips and quotes for today, one example of an upstream ministry, I'd like to think that we are an upstream ministry. We train good men to be godly men. And by the way, that's not just men. We train good women to be godly women. We teach men biblical manhood. We build men to be great husbands, fathers, and grandfathers. We equip men to be providers and protectors. We encourage men to love God and love others for a lifetime. The candidate, Peter Buttigieg, I don't know if I ever get his name right. I don't think I'm going to try very hard. He's the former mayor of Fort Wayne, Indiana. He engages in an evil deception common among regressives, making his unhistorical claim. He misquotes the Bible frequently, using it in ways that is downright evil and deceptive, and unfortunately people who are not familiar enough with Scripture believe what he says. Do you know what the OODA loop is? It's a cycle of observe, orient, decide, and act, developed by military strategist and United States Air Force Colonel John Boyd. Boyd applied the concept to combat operations process, often at operational level during military campaigns. And we could use this as Christian soldiers, so to speak, warriors for the Lord, however that you want to put it. Onward, Christian soldiers, you know the song. It's been banned by many churches. Observe, orient, decide, and act. And I think I can put scriptures without doing injustice and an improper exegesis of scripture. I think I can put scriptures to all of those points of the OODA loop. When we desire God's peace, we must also have that reverent submission also. Our will and our way must be parked. Think about that. When we desire God's peace, we must also have that reverent submission. Also, our will and our way must be parked. Far away in the far end of the parking lot. You will be tested and shaken out. You become a big target for the devil. If you're not well fortified, it will hurt. You will be exposed to all sorts of people who have flirted with the devil in many ways. They open the doors of temptation and entry by the evil one into those around them. Some even pick you out as an ego target to enrich themselves. If you want to remain free, then you are going to have to fight for your freedoms. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. After all, the history of the church is the Lord is willing to give the church what it is willing to fight for, no doubt. He's God. He can handle it. Let your faith be part of your new year. Many might ask the question, why do the nations rage? Well, it's a question that's asked in Psalm chapter 2. They rage because they reject God's law. They rage because they reject God's king. They rage because they reject Zion, God's holy mountain. The world may be getting darker, but that makes it all the more essential that we cause God's light and truth to shine. There exists in the economy of and course of nature an indissoluble union between virtue and happiness, between duty and advantage, between the genuine maxims of an honest and magnanimous policy and the solid rewards of public prosperity and felicity. Fancy words, they came from the 18th century from George Washington in 1789. Do you know what Wikipedia's definition of the Stockholm Syndrome is? A condition which causes hostages to develop a psychological alliance with their captors. The online encyclopedia continues, these alliances result from a bond formed between captor and captives during intimate time together, but they are generally considered irrational in light of the danger of risk endured by the victims. So we see this happening a lot. You might wonder, why are people doing what they're doing with the Stockholm Syndrome? That they're actually agreeing with their captors that have tortured them and beaten them and so forth and so on. Gee, I deserve to be beaten. I deserve to be put in jail. I deserve to be dismembered. In 1413, 2 years before his martyrdom, Bohemian reformer and martyr Jan Hus wrote in a letter, "Rejoice that the immortal God is born, so that immortal men may live through eternity." 1537, German reformer Martin Luther was recorded as saying, "It is most ungodly and dangerous business to abandon the certain and revealed will of God in order to search in the hidden mysteries of God." I find people do this all the time. They're trafficking and tippy-toeing around, in some cases not tippy-toeing around, witchcraft, different things that they shouldn't be getting into. And they're not even spending enough time getting into what they should get into, which is really knowing God's word firsthand, right from his word, by reading and studying it. 1723, the Dunkards, I remember saying this last week, they're not drunkards, they're Dunkards, they're Baptists from Germany, held this first immersion service in America at Germantown near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And let me tell you what's going on in Pennsylvania right now would make the Dunkards, those German Baptists, really ashamed. In 1923, in Washington, D.C., during Calvin Coolidge's first Christmas as president, the first electrically lit Christmas tree appeared in the White House. And we're talking about, folks, restorative justice. Now, many of you have probably gone ahead and made New Year's resolutions. Well, don't. I think instead of New Year's resolutions, you need to create new habits. And I won't just say you, we all, including myself. I'm not making any New Year's resolutions. You know, Kathy and I have been studying Jonathan Edwards, and of course, he made, I don't know how many, I think it's 100 resolutions. New Year's resolution. They're really involved, very intense, and it's really wonderful. I have no idea how many he kept. But the whole point is, folks, you need to have new habits. We need to have new habits that are breaking old habits. New habits that replace old habits. As the old saying goes, your first wealth is health. Giving loosens the grip of selfishness on your heart. Giving is the only antidote to greed. If you want to be miserable, which is the opposite of happy or blessed, then be selfish. I will not believe our labors are lost. I shall not die without a hope that light and liberty are on a steady advance. Thomas Jefferson, 1821. Theodore Roosevelt was America's last Anglo-Saxon chief. He knew that it's only through labor and painful effort, by grim energy and resolute courage, that we move on to better things. He also acknowledged that I am an average man. I am only an average man, but by George, I will work harder at it than the average man. And lastly, we would do well to heed his advice about the reactionaries amongst us. The reactionary, he said, is always willing to take a progressive attitude on any issue that is dead. And what are we here to do? We're here to advocate and educate. We advocate Jesus and we educate people about Jesus. Making good people helpless won't make bad people harmless. I posted that on my Facebook page and many, many people have responded to that. Simple message, making good people helpless will not make bad people harmless. A universal peace is to be feared. Is in the catalog of events, which will never exist but in the imaginations of visionary philosophers or in the breasts of benevolent enthusiasts. A universal peace. So when we see things going on in the world, Lord, people expect that only the Lord can bring about a peace, not the UN peacekeepers or whatever. The great thing about getting older is that you don't lose all the other ages you've been. Think about that. I certainly thought about it because there are times when I look in the mirror and see how old I've become, but at the same time inside me I remember how young I was and things that I did when I was young and so forth. And that helps me to stay a little younger. The longer I live, the more I understand a cardinal truth about the human condition. Evil often leaves virtue with few good options. And we are facing that in the world today in this difficult job for our leaders, that we need to be praying for them. And these are a few, just in closing, my quips and quotes. And I will be using one of these as our theme for today in the message briefly. We need to be immune to the criticisms of men and immune to the praise of men. Now, many of us may think we're immune to the criticisms of men, but we're not immune to the praise of men. And so the enemy knows if he can't get you with criticism, he might be able to get you by praising you and making you turn your head and not pay attention. And by the way, folks, we are not in a pleasure boat. We're on a lifeboat. And we don't want to sink the lifeboat, and we want to pull as many people, like William Booth of the Salvation Army saw people drowning in a sea of sin and wanted to throw them a life preserver. So we still think this way as Christians, though we may be trying to please ourselves. We really need to think about the fact we're on a lifeboat. We've been pulled into the lifeboat. We need to pull others in. Unconditionally, uncompromisingly. Is that you? Is that me? I'm unconditionally, uncompromisingly loving Jesus, serving Jesus. And now for our theme today, plundering hell, populating heaven. Plundering hell. Did he say hell? Yes, I said hell. Plundering hell and populating heaven. Turn with me in your copy of the Bible to the second chapter of Titus. Short book that we rarely, if ever, go to. But we're going to go to there today. And it's just 15 verses. I'm going to ask Mrs. Lear to be our reader today. And I'm going to ask her if she will read it from the Amplified Bible. And when you are ready, Lord, Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, be our teacher as always. We want to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Here we are in Titus. A letter of Paul to Titus from the Amplified Bible. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle, a special messenger of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to stimulate and promote the faith of God's chosen ones and to lead them on to accurate discernment and recognition of and acquaintance with the truth, which belongs to and harmonizes with and tends to godliness. Resting in the hope of eternal life, life which the ever-truthful God, who cannot deceive, promised before the world or the ages of time began. And now, in his own appointed time, he has made manifest, made known, his word, and revealed it as his message through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child, according to a common general faith, grace, favor, and spiritual blessing, and heart, peace from God the Father and the Lord Christ Jesus our Savior. For this reason, I left you behind in Crete, that you might set right what was defective and finish what was left undone, and that you might appoint elders and set them over the churches, assemblies, in every city, as I directed you. These elders should be men who are of unquestionable integrity and are irreproachable. The husband of but one wife, whose children are well-trained and are believers, not open to the accusation of being loose in morals and conduct or unruly and disorderly. For the bishop and overseer as God's steward must be blameless, not self-willed or arrogant or presumptuous. He must not be quick-tempered or given to drink or pugnacious, brawling, violent. He must not be grasping and greedy for filthy lucre, financial gain. But he must be hospitable, loving, and a friend to believers, especially to strangers and foreigners. He must be a lover of goodness, of good people and good things, sober-minded, sensible, discreet, upright, and fair-minded, a devout man and religiously correct, temperate, and keeping himself in hand. He must hold fast to the sure and trustworthy word of God as he was taught it, so that he may be able both to give stimulating instruction and encouragement in sound, wholesome doctrine, and to refute and convict those who contradict and oppose it, showing the wayward their error. For there are many disorderly and unruly men who are idle, vain, empty, and misleading talkers and self-deceivers and deceivers of others. This is true especially of those of the circumcision party who have come over from Judaism. Their mouths must be stopped, for they are mentally distressing and subverting whole families by teaching what they ought not to teach for the purpose of getting base advantage and disreputable gain. One of their very number, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, hurtful beasts, idle, and lazy gluttons." And this account of them is really true. Because it is true, rebuke them sharply, deal sternly, even severely with them, so that they may be sound in the faith and free from error, and may show their soundness by ceasing to give attention to Jewish myths and fables, or to rules laid down by mere men who reject and turn their backs on the truth. To the pure in heart and conscience, all things are pure. But to the defiled and corrupt and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Their very minds and consciences are defiled and polluted. They profess to know God, to recognize, perceive, and be acquainted with Him, but deny and disown and renounce Him by what they do. They are detestable and loathsome, unbelieving and disobedient, and disloyal and rebellious, and they are unfit and worthless for good work, deed, or enterprise of any kind. That was...
Well, Sister Lear, I guess the Holy Spirit must have led you to read chapter 1 instead of 2, as I asked you to do. But that's okay. We needed to hear that as well. I certainly did. So go ahead and read chapter 2, please, if you would.
Oh, Titus chapter 2 from the Amplified Bible. "But as for you, teach what is fitting and becoming to sound, wholesome doctrine, the character and right living that identify true Christians. Urge the older men to be temperate, venerable, serious, sensible, self-controlled, and sound in the faith, in the love, and in the steadfastness and patience of Christ. But the older women similarly bid the older women similarly to be reverent and devout in their deportment as becomes those engaged in sacred service, not slanderers or slaves to drink. They are to give good counsel and be teachers of what is right and noble, so that they will wisely train the young women to be sane and sober of mind, temperate, disciplined, and to love their husbands and their children, to be self-controlled, chaste, homemakers, good-natured, kind-hearted, adapting and subordinating themselves to their husbands that the word of God may not be exposed to reproach, blasphemed, or discredited. In a similar way, urge the younger men to be self-restrained and to behave prudently, taking life seriously, and show your own self in all respects to be a pattern and a model of good deeds and works, teaching what is unadulterated, showing gravity, having the strictest regard for truth and purity of motive with dignity and seriousness. And let your instruction be sound and fit and wise and wholesome, vigorous and irrefutable and above censure, so that the opponent may be put to shame, finding nothing discrediting or evil to say about us. Tell bondservants to be submissive to their masters, to be pleasing and give satisfaction in every way. Warn them not to talk back or contradict, nor to steal by taking things of small value, but to prove themselves truly loyal and entirely reliable and faithful throughout, so that in everything they may be an ornament and do credit to the teaching which is from and about God our Savior. For the grace of God, his unmerited favor and blessing, has come forward, appeared, for the deliverance from sin and the eternal salvation for all mankind. It has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness, irreligion, and worldly passionate desires, to live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole lives in this present world, awaiting and looking for the fulfillment, the realization of our blessed hope, even the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, who gave himself on our behalf that he might redeem us, purchase our freedom from all iniquity, and purify for himself a people to be peculiarly his own, people who are eager and enthusiastic about living a life that is good and filled with beneficial deeds. Tell them all these things. Urge, advise, encourage, warn, and rebuke with full authority. Let no one despise or disregard or think little of you. Conduct yourself and your teaching so as to command respect. Titus chapter 2 from the Amplified Bible.
Thank you. Well, we can all go home now because those two chapters ought to cover it quite nicely. But as I have said, we have a theme here: plundering hell and populating heaven. I know these two chapters, particularly I want to focus on chapter 2, and chose to have Sister Lear read from the Amplified Bible, because the Amplified Bible was one of the first Bibles that I read so many years ago, and it was like reading a commentary at the same time of reading the Bible. You know, any serious Bible student is going to read many translations of the Bible. You're going to have a Bible dictionary there. You're going to have a concordance there. You're going to look things up if you're really serious. And quite honestly, I'm disappointed to say that most Christians that I have known over the years are not very serious, including a lot of the pastors and preachers. They're serious about preaching, and they're serious about preaching from the Bible, but one preacher, actually fairly well known, said he had never read the Bible consistently from Genesis to Revelation. I said, well, how can you get up and preach when you haven't even read it? Well, I've read parts of it. You know, he reads parts of it just to be ready to, okay, the sermon this week is coming from such and such and so forth. Well, if we're going to plunder hell and populate heaven, that's not going to be accidental. It's not going to be casual. It's not going to be happenstance. It's going to be very purposeful. And of course, as we said, don't just make New Year's resolutions that won't even last probably till February. You know, so the joke is always, yeah, I'm gonna exercise more, and people spend a whole bunch of money buying exercise equipment. By February, they're trying to find somebody to buy it from them, take it off their hands, and even get a fraction of the money back. But being serious about your faith in Christ and your knowledge of the things of the Word of God is very important, particularly as you get older. The beginning of chapter 2 of Titus, it says, but as for you, but as for you. And so when I see that in the Bible, or I read that in the Bible, it really gets to me, because it's like God pointing his finger at me saying, but as for you, Garrett, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. And I just read that from the English Standard Version. That's a lot of stuff that I need to be. And I do qualify for being older, an older man. Some people say, you're not old. Okay, living over 7 decades of life on this earth is not old, compared to somebody who lived 9 decades, maybe. But it is sure a lot older than most people. And the whole point is, from the Lord's standpoint, you are supposed to be growing, Garrett. You're supposed to be getting better at all these things. You know, you're... If we were to make cheese, the best cheeses are usually aged. Well, maybe the best people are aged as well. Not to say that young people can't be very special, the talents they have, and I look back on my young years and the things that I could do and whatever else, but I wasn't like this. I mean, I was teaching, reading from the Bible, and teaching people from the Bible and preaching from the Bible over 4 decades now doing that. But I didn't understand it like I do now, because I have continued to grow and to study. And I've been very sober-minded. Now, does sober-minded mean not drinking? Well, I don't drink. But sober-minded is not just not drinking. Because there are a lot of people who maybe don't drink, but they sure act very foolish and silly, as if they were drunk. And dignified. Should God's people be dignified? I see a lot of things that the young people do that they're not concerned about it, you know, how they dress or any of those things. And we're not talking about a clothesline kind of theology here, you know, or legalism. We're talking about, is it dignified? And self-controlled. Well, and I've stated this from our standpoint as Americans. If we're not going to control ourselves, then the people that are in government will try to control us and use their tyranny over us. They probably do it anyway. Be sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. I'd like to believe, as the Lord pointing his finger at me, Garrett, you've been steadfast. And I think anyone that has listened to my preaching over the years, my teaching over the years, and so forth, saying he's still preaching and teaching the same things, I think I'm doing it better. I believe the Holy Spirit has helped me to age that as I've gotten older. I've been better at self-control and so forth and so on. And this is something we could all learn from. That's why it's here in the Bible. And then older women. It's not just older men. And I know this is a portion of scripture that will say feminists. I was going to say radical feminists, but actually feminists in general. Or women that do not want to be what the Bible says they should be. Are very upset with. Because there are a lot of things here saying that likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. Why is it mentioned not slaves to much wine or in the Amplified said to drink? Because I suppose a lot of women, if they stay home and they're not engaged in godly behavior and having godly relations with other women and teaching their children as they should, might get involved with drinking, and you know, the husband's at work outside the home and the wife's at work inside the home, so she maybe starts taking a drink here and there or drinking a glass of wine, and then well, what's wrong with a couple of glasses of wine? And the whole point here is any of these things can happen to anybody if you let that happen. Now, you might be listening to this and saying, well, that's fine for him to say. He doesn't understand what I'm going through. Okay, maybe I don't. I think I do in a lot of cases because I, you know, as I listened to a testimony of somebody yesterday, a young man who said, oh, before I came to Christ, I did a lot of bad things. Well, I can relate to that. A lot of bad things that I did. But the good news is that the Lord says, if you're going to plunder hell and populate heaven, you can't do those things anymore. And I see a lot of Christians that say, I've received Christ as my Savior. It's wonderful to go forward in a Billy Graham crusade. It's wonderful to go forward in Franklin Graham crusade or anybody else's crusade and so forth. But that's just the beginning, not the end. And your behavior is going to change. And if it doesn't, and you're not growing, then something is not right with your relationship with the Lord. The Lord's been trying to speak to you, and the line's been busy. Well, hang up the phone on the world, and pick up the phone for the Lord. And so, when we look at things here, one of the things that's commented often is that the Lord, and it was used by people who believed in the slave trade, that God approves of slavery. No, he doesn't approve of slavery. He understands the fallen nature of man better than anyone would understand the fallen nature of man. He knows that in the fallen nature of man, that men will try to keep other men captive. Or they'll try to own people. You know, there are some people out there, they want to own. I mean, if they're not owning you because you're actually a slave, you work for a company that doesn't treat you right. And as far as they're concerned, you belong to them. You work for this company, you belong to us, or else. And a lot of people have been getting the or else's and being asked to do things that are just downright ungodly. And so the idea is it doesn't agree, that the scriptures aren't saying that God agrees with that. Bond servants are to be submissive to their owners, their own masters and everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Now, that's a hard thing to do, and if we translate that into 21st century, okay, in America we don't have people who are slaves or indentured servants anymore, but we sort of do. There are people working for companies that instead of the company saying, hey, you've worked 8 hours today, your family needs you, go home. No, you stay here at the office and work 20 hours. And I mean, I've seen this. It doesn't happen just with people in business. It happens with people in ministry too. Where's the end of it? Your family needs you. You need to go home. That's the end of today. But some companies will say, no, you stay and you work until you produce this much, whatever. We don't care. But it's Christmas Eve. I need to get home to my family. I don't care. It's New Year's Eve. We get some friends coming over. I don't care. Continue working till you get it done. Because for some, that's a type of slavery today. And you might be in that. And of course, we thought we'll start unions to protect our interests. And then the unions don't protect our interests either. They use that as a tyranny as well. And they protect themselves. Because it's human nature that people in positions of power will use that power to protect themselves and enhance themselves without necessarily helping someone else. But when you're in that kind of a situation, to be able to say, no, I'm willing to obey, but I can't disobey the Lord in obeying you. That's, the Lord's not asking us to do that. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. Okay, now, if I asked you to make a list, and I do this when I counsel with people, make a list of what your ungodliness is and worldly passions are. Do you know that some people asked to do that don't even know the answer to that? They can't say what's ungodliness and what's worldly passions? I hope that you know that. And where would you get that information from? Not from me. I mean, I can tell you, but it's not from me that you get that information. You get that information from what God's word says, what he has spoken to you, what he has spoken to me. And of course, the idea for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all. Now, some people say that's universal salvation, the Lord saving everybody, regardless. But that's not true. It just means the availability of salvation has been presented. I mean, obviously, with the Ten Commandments and the Jewish people, many people of the world didn't know there was such thing as salvation. But in the coming of Jesus, he presented the opportunity to be saved regardless of what country you were born in, regardless of your gender, regardless of your financial circumstance or national origin or any of those kind of things. Because the Lord wants us to plunder hell and populate heaven. And plundering hell and populating heaven, it's not an easy task to do, and it's the best possible thing we could do because it's what the Lord wants to do. And he can probably do it without us, as I've often said. The reason why, if anything at all, why does the Lord use me? And the things that I thought he should use me in, he didn't use me in. The things I wanted him to use me in, he didn't always do that. He used me the way he used me. He's using me. Why? Because I am a bondservant to the Lord. Do you mind saying that? You're going to take your earlobe and you're going to pierce it with an awl and put a ring in your ear to show, and somebody say, oh, neat earring. What's that about? Because we see a lot of people put earrings in and several earrings in. Do you have the earring that shows you're a bondservant to the Lord? Well, it's not supposed to be just a physical thing any more than having a big cross around your neck that weighs 5 pounds. It's made of silver. I saw a guy the other night on a documentary. This guy was loaded with gold. He had so much gold on him, he had to have two big arm guards because the guy had so much gold on him. And yes, he had a big golden cross that means absolutely nothing. Except that it's worth something because it's gold. The ring that we're supposed to put in our ear in the Old Testament, it was maybe a physical thing, but in the New Testament Christian life, it's our heart. Our heart has been pierced and has a ring that shows we're a bondservant to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were out trying to plunder hell and populate heaven. Hey, what are you doing today? I'm plundering hell and populating heaven. What do you think people will say if you just tell them that? And training people to renounce ungodliness and worldly passion. Waiting for our blessed hope. I remember there was a movie out there. It's called The Blessed Hope or something. It was about a prize fighter. And that's kind of good because Jesus is the prize fighter. He is the blessed hope. Nothing else and no one else is the blessed hope. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession. We are zealous for good works. Zealous. Are you zealous for good works? I know a lot of people that are really zealous for the Super Bowl and zealous for the World Series and zealous for this and zealous for that. Why aren't you zealous for the works of the Lord? Don't you want to plunder hell and populate heaven? And if you do, you declare these things. You exhort and you rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Let no one disregard you. I would like to believe, only if it's true, of course, that no one disregards Garrett Lear and his faith in Christ. They may disregard me for a lot of other things, but that don't disregard me. Because I'm out to plunder hell and populate heaven. And as an older man, with the help of the Holy Spirit and the mentoring of other people, I have mentored lots of people. Some I've been happy with how they have responded. I've been mentored by a lot of people. A lot of people have had their ideas of what Garrett Lear should do with his life and where I missed it. And sometimes I think that way too. And the enemy's always quick to remind me, you missed it. You missed this. You missed that. You missed... Hey, I can tell you one thing that I am absolutely sure of as I have traveled all over America, all 50 states. I've been in the hottest of places, the unbelievably hot, and the coldest of places, unbelievably cold, and going to Europe and so forth. I didn't go there for a pleasure trip. I wasn't on a pleasure boat. I was on a lifeboat, and I was there to plunder hell and populate heaven. I'm sure of that. And that's still the mission I'm on while I'm still able to draw breath. So I put that out to you. One of the things I used to like about, it was a Billy Graham magazine, the decision. The time for decision. And so folks, yes, it's a new year, 2020. I laughingly said at the post office the other day to a fellow there, well, now in 2020... we'll be able to see better. We'll have 20/20 vision. But of course, that was a pun. It was a purposely intended for somebody to think about it. And of course, I did say something about the Lord along with it. That maybe in 2020, more of hell will be plundered and more of heaven will be populated because of what you are doing. Because of what I am doing. And because Christians all over the country, I've got an email request from somebody, a young man, who's gone off to a conference, said, please pray for me. And I think he probably sent it out to a lot of people. Pray that I have a revival in my heart. And he's been very active in ministry for years. He's got a nice family and so forth. But he's saying, pray that I have revival in my heart. And so when the Lord says, go back to your first love, as he says in Revelation, book of Revelation, this I have against you, you've left your first love. Yeah, you'd been doing some good things, but you left your first love. It's like saying, okay, honey, I'm home, I'm here. But you don't really show love for your wife or for your children. in the way that the Lord would want. Well, it's the same thing. The Lord wants us to love him in a particular way. And he tells us what that is. And that's just not because he has to have it. I gotta have your love. No. He knows it's good for us. You seek the Lord's face. Lord, don't turn away from me, please. I seek your face. I look into your beautiful face. The songs that we sing. There are many songs like that. You're looking into the Lord's beautiful face. And all the things of earth are growing greatly dim. Yes. Plundering hell and populating heaven. Let's pray. Well, Holy Spirit, you have given us a lot to chew on today, for sure. Give us the spiritual teeth we need to chew it up, swallow it, digest it, and build spiritual muscle from it. Especially in this new year. Thankfully, we have another year to serve you, another year to plunder hell and populate heaven. And we'll continue to do these things as you show us and continue to grow. And a particular exhortation for the older men and the older women to reach out to younger men and younger women and show them how. Thank you, Lord. And for great healings. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.